And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I've got to disclose something. I have to tell you something about my health, and I'm just going to come clean with you. I've got a cold. I picked up a cold at our recent expo event. It probably has something to do with the fact that I was shaking everybody's hand. There were like 5,000 people at our Wealth and Passive Income Expo. And I will tell you, I tried to shake every one of their hands. I did, because for me, the expo event was a networking event. It was purely a networking event for me. It was designed for me to meet as many people as I could meet. And you know what I did? I met a lot of people. I met a lot of people. I shook a lot of hands, and I caught a cold. Okay, so why am I disclosing to you that I have a cold? Well, because over the weekend, I was actually feeling pretty miserable. I really was. I mean, this cold got into my system. It was working its way, you know, through my nasal systems, through my respiratory system, into all my other systems. And I just felt terrible. I felt like maybe I was going to die. I felt like I was going to die, but that obviously didn't happen. No matter how bad I felt, it didn't happen. So here I am, alive and kicking, happy to be doing this radio show, happy to be talking to you today about the subject of death. Yes. How can I get happy about talking about the subject of death? Well, I'm not sure I am. And let me caveat it this way. Part of the reason that I'm thinking about the topic of death is that there's been a lot of people that have been a part of my life that have passed away recently. Now these are people that I don't intimately know, but these are people I know of. These are people that were a part of society as I was growing up. People like Pete Rose, people like Kris Kristofferson, people like Tito Jackson, Bob Newhart, Phil Donahue, James Earl Jones, the one and only voice of Darth Vader, passed away. All of these people passed away. And I started thinking, you know, I'm laying on my deathbed. Technically, I wasn't on my deathbed. It just felt like my deathbed. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure I just had a common cold. But that common cold, it kicked my butt pretty hard. It did. So I'm laying on my not so deathbed, and I'm thinking about all of these people that passed away. And I'm noticing in my mind that there's a couple of things that you can't avoid in life: taxes and death. I'm serious about that. You can't avoid taxes. They're always going to be out there. Even though in the real estate world, we're able to mitigate taxes, we're able to avoid taxes, we can't avoid every single tax that's out there. We as real estate investors, we still pay taxes. We pay real estate taxes. We pay taxes on the goods and services that we procure to improve our businesses. Does that make sense? Okay, so taxes are still out there. Can't avoid them. And you can't avoid death. Yeah, you can't. Well, I don't know. Can you defer death? I don't think you can even defer death. Well, maybe I felt like I was deferring death over the weekend, but I wasn't deferring death. I was not on my deathbed. I just felt bad. And then I started thinking about the concept of death. And there were some other things that brought that to my mind. I was thinking about a friend of mine by the name of John. And John was a Lifestyles Unlimited member. He had come from the great state of Oregon. He had discovered Lifestyles Unlimited, and he made a decision to leave the state of Oregon, come to the state of Texas to restart his life and to start investing in real estate assets. And he started doing that, and he started changing the trajectory of his life. But unfortunately, John, as great of a person as he was, at the age of 63, he succumbed to death. Death got him. He was dealing with some very serious health issues. Cancer, I believe, was what ultimately, you know, signed his death warrant. And at the end of the day, he passed away. And that got me thinking about, Well, what happens when you die? What happens when you die? What happens to all of your investments? Now, I know flat out, not all of you listening to the sound of my voice are invested in real estate assets. I know that many of you are invested in a lot of different things. But here's the thing. When you die, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen to those investments. There are different rules and regulations in place that have to do with the fact that you have passed away and something has to happen to your asset. Maybe your asset transfers to somebody else. Maybe the government takes control of the asset. Wow, that's kind of a scary thought. The government taking control of your asset? Wouldn't you still want to be in control of your asset even in death? I know that's something that's very important to me. And the fact that John had passed away, it got me thinking about this concept, and it got me thinking about what are you doing in the event that maybe you pass away. While it's often seen as an end, death also acts as a mirror, reflecting back upon us the profound fragility and fleeting nature of life itself. It challenges us to confront the impertinence of everything we know, from our relationships to our ambitions. This confrontation can be deeply unsettling, but also transformative. In recognizing our mortality, we are invited to reconsider the value of time, the meaning we attach to our actions, and the legacy we wish to leave behind. Pretty deep stuff, huh? Death also serves as a great equalizer. It erases the distinctions between wealth, power, status, and everything else that dominates life. Despite our attempts to control or to defer it through achievements in medicine, technology, or philosophy, death remains the one certainty that unites us all. Yet paradoxically, it is this very inevitability that gives life its intensity. Knowing that our time is finite can prompt a deeper appreciation for the present moment and inspire us to live with more purpose, compassion, and authenticity. At its core, the contemplation of death is not about the end of life, but about understanding what it means to truly live. By accepting death as a natural part of existence, we may unlock a fuller embrace of life itself. We might find peace in the realization that while life may be temporary, the impact we have through love, kindness, or creativity can transcend our individual mortality. Death may close a door, but it also invites us to consider what we've built on the other side. Pretty deep stuff, right? Yeah, we're talking about death today. And the reason we're talking about death is because, well, I felt like garbage over the weekend. I did. I thought like maybe this is the time. Maybe now, I don't know of very many people that die of the common cold. I'm pretty sure that's what I am suffering from is the common cold. But I do know that the common cold has killed people throughout history. So, you know, I think it's okay for me to contemplate the concept of death. And because I've had a lot of impact recently from death itself, the fact that some good friends of mine lost a baby recently, it made me think about death. And it made me think about what do we as investors do when it comes to death. Have you thought that through? Have you considered? Now, I'm going to caveat this. I'm going to say, I don't care what you're currently invested in right now. I don't care. And here's why. When death takes you, you're done. It's over. This life is over. There is no reset button. Unlike the video games you like to play, or the video games you like to watch your kids play, or your grandkids play, there is no reset button. Once we accomplish death in this life, it's done. This life is over. Now, I've had some brushes with death. I have. In my 60 years on this planet, I have had brushes with death. I have been in a little place called a combat zone. Okay? I'll just leave that where it's at. I have had a heart attack. I suffered at the age of 57. I had a heart attack and I was dancing with death. I didn't know I was having a heart attack until I went to the hospital and they said, "Oh, Mr. Gordon, you are suffering a heart attack." And I went, "Oh, is that what those feel like? Because those don't feel very good. They do not feel very good." And I could have died from that heart attack. There are other things that I've done in my life because I'm a little bit of a thrill seeker at times. You know, I've done some things to put my personal life in peril. I have brushed up against death on a number of occasions. And you know what? I'm over it. I'm definitely over it. Yeah, that whole thrill-seeking thing about, well, let's just push myself as far as I can go. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with that. It's in the past. So what is this concept of death, and what does it have to do with what you're investing in? Well, it has a lot to do with it. As a matter of fact, the death of an investor can significantly affect different types of investments, and the impacts vary based on the nature of the investment itself, the legal structure that you hold the investment in, and any estate planning you have done. Now, some of you, I just said three things that you should be doing to prepare for death, and you're like, what? What did he just say? Okay, let me say them again. There are three things that impact your investments when it comes to death, and they vary based on the nature of the investment, the legal structure, and estate planning considerations. Did you get it that time? And you're like, dude, will you stop talking about death? Can you change the subject? No, I'm not going to change the subject because you need to hear this stuff. Remember, this is the radio show where we talk about stuff that you need to hear, not stuff you want to hear. Yeah, that this show. Yeah. And for all of you Lifestyles Unlimited members out there, yes, I am getting into a topic that is not an entry level topic. This is a topic for everybody in the Lifestyles Unlimited community, as well as for everybody who's not a part of the Lifestyles Unlimited community. So let's lead off with the most important one, real estate. Let's talk about investing in real estate, and let's talk about death as it relates to real estate. You've just died. How do you transfer ownership? Well, the real estate deed is a very important part of that transfer of ownership. If you own the property as joint tenancy with right of survival, you're golden, because the ownership automatically transfers over to the other person that's on that deed. All you have to do essentially is submit a death certificate to get the deceased person off of the deed, and the surviving person becomes the lone survivor, so to speak, on that deed. So that's one of the ways that real estate can be very, very beneficial to you when it comes to death. Now, real estate is part of a deceased person's estate and can be passed on to beneficiaries either through a will, trust, or probate. But if a trust is used, probate can be avoided. That means if you go to probate, guess what? Other people are going to make decisions on who owns your property. You don't want that. We come back from the break. We're going to get back into this topic on death and ownership. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And I'm doing so by talking about the concept of death. Now, don't change the dial. I realize that this is a morbid topic, but this is a topic that has to be discussed, especially if you're invested in anything. I don't care if you're invested in real estate. I don't care if you're invested in gold. I don't care if you're invested in silver. I don't care if you're invested in the stock market. I don't care if you're invested in REITs. I don't care if you're invested in, gosh, I could just be diarrhea in the mouth and just keep going on this topic. The point I'm trying to make is that if you die, it will have an impact on your investments. And if you have not planned correctly To avoid the negative impacts your death could cause to your investments, you have not been planning correctly. Now, I do need to caveat this show. I need to tell you that I am not an attorney. I am not any type of attorney. I have never gone to law school. I have never sat for the bar. I have never taken the bar, which means I've never passed the bar, which means I am not qualified or competent to give you any legal advice. But what I'm talking about today kind of sounds like it might be legal advice. I am giving you my layman's approach to this topic. Does that make sense? Now, I'm a knowledgeable guy. I do my research. I go out and I find my facts. I find my opinions. Yeah, I do find opinions out there. And sometimes I share those opinions with you. But what I'm attempting to do for you today is just to give you all of the salient facts. The facts as I have uncovered them. And the facts, depending on what you're investing in and whether or not you die, could be beneficial or non-beneficial to you. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you. All right, so let's get back to the concept of real estate. Let's say you own real estate and you die. What do you do? Well, real estate is part of the deceased's estate and can be passed to beneficiaries either through a will, a trust, or probate, or through the deed itself. And if you use a trust, probate can be avoided. Now, here's what I have learned about probate. It's expensive. It costs money. You're paying an attorney to move something through the legal system that you in your living years could have avoided had you done the right things. Yeah. Now, the reason I bring that up is there are people out there. We actually have attorneys as a part of our Lifestyles Unlimited vendor list that are designed specifically to help you do estate planning. Yeah. No matter what you own, how you own it, blah, 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 blah. They can figure out where all the perils will be, and they can help get you on a glide path to avoiding paying taxes. Because after all, if you've done everything correctly as a real estate investor, if you've been avoiding as much of the taxes as you can legally avoid, why would you all of a sudden die and then give it all back to the government when you die? It doesn't make any sense, does it? No, it makes no sense at all. And here's something else you need to know about real estate. There's something called a cost basis step up. What the heck is that? Cost basis step up. Well, real estate typically benefits from a step up in cost basis to the market value at the time of death. What that means is that it reduces the capital gains taxes that are due when a property is sold by the beneficiaries. So let me give you a basic explanation of how that works. Let's say you and I, we bought a house. Okay. You bought your own house. I bought my own house. Okay. We both paid $100,000 for the house. Okay. Now I have my real estate organized correctly so that when I die, my heirs will take it over and they will take it over at a stepped up basis. Meaning if that $100,000 house is now worth $200,000 when I die, they don't pay the taxes on the additional $100,000 in equity that I developed over my lifetime. They don't pay it. Their new basis in the property becomes $200,000. But let's say you didn't do that. Let's say now you've got that $100,000 house, it's gone up to a $200,000 value, and you die, and you didn't do anything to protect the equity in that property. Now, your heirs would take that property over, and they would be liable for the difference in taxes between what you paid for it at that $100,000 rate and what it's worth today in the current market, which is $200,000. So now they've got to pay capital gains tax on like $100,000, which could be like in the neighborhood of $20,000. Now, they just inherited the house. Where are they going to get $20,000 from? Exactly. Now you understand why people who inherit properties tend to turn around and take those properties and put them for sale on the market. They do it because they can't afford to pay the tax liability. They need to sell the asset in order to realize the capital gains so that now they can pay the tax liability on the asset. So, whose investing strategy worked better, mine or yours? You know, stocks and bonds are typically part of the deceased person's estate and can be transferred to the beneficiaries. And if the investor had a will or a trust, the transfer process is guided by these documents. If not, the estate goes through probate, which can be time-consuming and expensive. Now, in many, many jurisdictions, the cost basis of the investments is stepped up to the value of the investment on the date of the death. This means that the beneficiaries may not owe capital gains taxes on any appreciation up to the date of the death if they sell the assets off. But here's the point I want to make. When you're investing in stocks and bonds, there's no cash flow. We're not going to talk about cash flow when it comes to stocks and bonds because it doesn't produce cash flow. And if it does produce cash flow, chances are the investing you're doing is within a 401k or an IRA or something like that. And if that's the case, all the cash flow goes right back into that account. You do not get to touch it. You do not get to use the cash flow like we as real estate investors get to use the cash flow to pay our ordinary expenses of life. And that's what causes us to get to a place of retirement in 5 years or less. Pretty cool, right? Yeah. All right. What about those IRAs and those 401ks? Now, these accounts often have named beneficiaries, which allow them to bypass probate and pass directly to their heirs. So that is one good function of the 401k or the IRA. The effect of death depends on whether the beneficiary is a spouse, a child, or another person. Now, the spouse can often roll the account into their own IRA or take distributions based on their own timelines. I think they could also roll it into their own 401k. My research is a little bit foggy with regards to how that actually can occur. So my point being, I'm not a professional when it comes to this type of stuff. All I've done is a little bit of research. I know enough to be very dangerous, and you need to seek out qualified, competent people who can advise you on this sort of stuff. Does that make sense? All right. Now, what if your beneficiary is not a spouse? What if your beneficiary is somebody else other than the spouse? Well, under current U.S. law, something called Secure Act, non-spousal beneficiaries are typically required to withdraw the entire balance within 10 years, potentially accelerating income taxes. So that means if your kids take over your 401k or your IRA, they've got about 10 years to figure out what to do with that money. Yeah. And what if they're not old enough to start taking the money out without penalties or things like that? All right. I'm not saying that they're going to get charged penalties. What I'm saying is that I don't know. And I'm guessing if I don't know, you probably don't know either. So how does taxation impact retirement accounts such as IRAs, 401ks, and those types of things? Well, distributions from traditional IRAs and 401ks are typically taxed as income to the beneficiary, while Roth IRAs grow tax-free and distributions remain tax-free provided certain conditions are met. You know what that sounds like to me? A bunch of gobbledygook. If I'm in this type of IRA, these rules apply. If I'm in that type of IRA, those types of rules apply. So in this IRA, I might be subject to taxes, even though I've passed away and there wouldn't be taxes on me, but maybe my heirs might have to take the taxes versus that IRA where it can grow, but it can still grow. See all the questions that start coming through my mind as I'm starting to think about how does this work? This whole thing is so complex. There are people out there that fully understand it, and I am clearly not one of them, nor do I want to be one of them. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to point out to you just how fuzzy this stuff can be. And the reason I'm pointing it out is because you don't want to pass away and have your heirs have to deal with this mess. You don't want that for the people you love, period, end of story, any more than I want it for the people that I love. That's why all of my stuff is tightened up. That's why if I die, everything is squared away for my beautiful wife, Tina. And if, God forbid, both of us die at the same time, everything is squared away for my two lovely children, Jonathan and Jesselyn, to take over the quote unquote estate, because everything is organized. Everything is set into motion. Everything has been looked at through the lens of who gets the money. Yeah, I'm serious. Who gets the money? That's the lens you've got to have. If you die, who gets the money? Does it go to who you intend it to go to? Does it go 100% to them? Does it go 90% to them? Does it go 70% to them? Does it go 40% to them? How much of it gets to them? And how much does the government take? How much do the attorneys take? That's why all of this stuff is so darn important to think about. Now, what about mutual funds? What happens to mutual funds? What if those mutual funds are not in an IRA or 401k or something like that? Okay, well, like individual stocks and bonds, mutual fund holdings are transferred to heirs based on the will, trust, or probate proceedings. Are you starting to understand that there's different rules in place for your stocks as opposed to your real estate? Did you hear that? Wills, trusts, or probates. Wills, trusts, or probates. Okay, we can have those with real estate too, but there are mechanisms in real estate where we can actually avoid wills, trusts, and probates. There's ways to do that. But when it comes to the stock investing, I'm not seeing it. You're going to have to go to wills, trusts, or probates. And similar to stocks, beneficiaries may, not must or will, but may receive a stepped up basis in the cost basis of mutual fund shares to their value at the time of the death of the original holder. May. It means it's not guaranteed. It means there's something in there that could misfire, that could cause your heirs to deal with a lot of taxes. Any distributions made by mutual funds after the death of the investor would generally be passed on to the estate or the beneficiaries. Now, that's what my research is telling me with regards to dividends and capital gains. But again, we're not talking about cash flow, are we? We're not talking about what happens to the cash flow. What happens to the cash flow? There is no cash flow. That's part of the problem of what you're doing for investing right now. There's no cash flow. What about annuities? Some of you have annuities out there. You don't know that they're annuities, but you own them. They're in your portfolio. Now, most annuities allow the investor to name a beneficiary who will either receive a lump sum or continued payments after death. That means that annuity is going to pay at the time of your death. If the annuity is a non-qualified annuity, the beneficiary may owe taxes on any gains that have been accumulated. Qualified annuities, such as those within an IRA or 401k, you know where I'm going with that, right? Are taxed as ordinary income to the beneficiary. Yeah. So the annuitant, yeah, you're leaving a tax liability. Now, some annuities allow for spousal continuation, where the spouse can continue receiving payments under the contract, deferring taxation. But you would have had to know that going into the annuity. You would have had to know that that's what you're buying into, that if one of you dies, the other one gets to continue on. Not all annuities are created that way. They're not. So if you have an annuity, my advice to you, this is just my advice, you can take it for what it's worth. I would take a look at that annuity and I would determine what that annuity is doing for you and your household. Is it providing you current cash flow? If it's not providing you current cash flow, why do you have it? If it's going to create a tax liability when you die, why do you have it? What is the point of having that annuity in your portfolio? Maybe you should consider divesting the annuity. Divesting the annuity? Well, that's crazy man talk. Well, welcome to the world of the crazy man. I'm serious. Maybe you should consider divesting yourself of the annuity, taking the money that comes from the annuity, and then buying real estate assets with that money. It's a good thought, isn't it? It's a real good thought. What happens to life insurance when you die? Well, it's kind of a no-brainer, but life insurance provides a death benefit that is usually paid out directly to the named beneficiaries, bypassing probate. This is one of the most liquid and tax-efficient assets upon death. But again, that life insurance policy that you've had all of these years that did finally pay when you died, how much money did it pay you while you were alive? And that's the point. If your assets are not paying you any money, if your assets are going to create a probate problem for you. If your assets are not completely controlled by you and your estate, maybe you're invested in the wrong assets. And dying is not the right time for you to figure that out. Dying is the last place you ought to be when it comes to, well, dying. Hey, if you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.